that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. And Lord, on this first Sunday in Advent, we remember the coming of our Saviour Jesus, the way, Lord, he was born into a humble family, Lord, in a stable, Lord, in Bethlehem. And we think, Lord, of the wonder, Father, of the way that you engineered, Lord, all of those events. And we just pray, Father, this morning, as we consider these things, you might bless us and draw us to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start and by remaining seated, and we'll sing together, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us. His name is called Emmanuel. We forget sometimes that Jesus' birth was forecast many thousands of years before it actually happened. And one of the most famous prophets is Isaiah, and there's quite a few prophecies in the Old Testament that foretell the coming of Jesus. So I'm going to read some words now from Isaiah and chapter 9. It says this, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Amen. That last song that we sang, Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel means God with us. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it, when God sent Jesus to this earth so that God dwelt among us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to sing another song now about Emmanuel. O come Emmanuel, redeem thy captive Israel. Anyway. I had a phone call from Martin about 8 o'clock this morning to inform me that he'd got a bit of a stomach bug actually, and thought it best not to come for obvious reasons. And so I had a look at the order of service that Martin had given to me this morning, and largely we're following actually what Martin had got planned today. Obviously I hadn't really any clue what Martin was going to say, But I'm sure that God plans these things, doesn't he? That things work, don't they, in ways in which we don't understand. And I'm sure as the service progresses today, God's going to speak to us in a way that's appropriate. Marty's put this bit of the service, he's called it pause for thought. Well, I'm going to call it pause for breath, actually, because to be honest, I've been in a little bit of a panic this morning, actually, because you can just imagine, can't you, thinking, well, what am I going to do? How is it all going to sort of fit together today? So I was sort of busy trying to work out what the sermon was going to be about today, whether the hymns were right or the readings were needed tweaking slightly. And it made me think, actually, we do live busy lives, don't we, where we spend a lot of time in sort of panic mode. And, you know, it's difficult to try and fit things in and try and sort things out. And sometimes we do just need pause for thought or pause for breath, don't we, where we can just sit and stay in God's presence and just listen to what God has got to say to us today. So I thought we'd just do that now. Just have a time to pause for breath, to pause for thought. And I'm going to ask the music group to play again the song Emmanuel that we had at the beginning of the service. And perhaps we could just sit quietly, just for a couple of minutes, just to listen to it and just to let God speak to us. And just to help us to focus as we start our Advent season and to remember what it's all about. Let's pray, shall we? Emmanuel, God is with us. Father God, we thank you that you are with us this morning, that you are, Lord, here in this church service with us today, in this building. And Father, we pray that as we continue to worship together this morning, we might really know that you are here with us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak and minister to each one of us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to stand and sing now, "In Christ Alone Our Hope Is Found." Get the music group really working today. Sandra's going to be so fit at the end of the service today, you know. Go to look at New Testament reading now, and I think this is the lectionary reading to today, but anyway, this is the one that Martin chose for today, and it's from Luke and chapter 21, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. My Bible, it's entitled "The Destruction of the Temple and Signs of the End Times," so we know what we're looking at. So some of Jesus's disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come where not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and will put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem, so we're going to stop there. Stand firm and you will win life. We just ask God to help us to understand those words. So we're going to look at that passage now. Of course, Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and they were all looking at the temple together. And of course, the temple was a very impressive building. So I don't know what you think of them. If I asked you what's the most impressive building that you've ever seen, what, can we give some examples? What kind of examples might you give?
Cathedrals.
Sorry?
Cathedrals.
Yeah? Pardon? Yeah? Anyone else? The Vatican. Yeah? Yeah, fantastic, isn't it, going inside the Vatican? Look at all the murals and things inside there. The Cathedral of Barcelona. I haven't visited that. That's one of my to-do list, that is. Any other famous buildings or anything good? We went to Dubai a few months ago, and we went up the Burj Khalifa, which is actually the tallest building in the world, and it was absolutely amazing. And I even got Sandra, who doesn't like heights, to go right up the top with me, actually. So that was a first, and really good. Yeah, so I didn't go too near the edge, though. It was a bit too much to look off. So the disciples and Jesus were looking at this impressive temple building. And Jesus sort of gave them a bit of an unexpected message, actually. And I don't know what the disciples were expecting Jesus to say when they were looking at this building, but what he did say, I think, was a bit to the opposite, I think, of what they actually were expecting him to say. And I think today's sermon, I'm afraid to say, is a bit of a bad news sermon, actually. We're all going to go home feeling a bit depressed, I think, actually. But I think there's some really good messages of hope in there. So I've got a few things, a few key messages, really, to pick out, I think, from this this passage today. The first thing is, I think Jesus was trying to say, is that things don't last forever. Things won't last forever. You know, the disciples said, look, you know, this temple, what magnificent stones, what magnificent buildings it is. And I'm sure that if any of us had seen the temple in Jerusalem, And I've seen some sort of pictures of people that have done reconstructions and things of it. It is, without a doubt, a very impressive building. And some of the historians said, you know, some of the stones are 37 feet long, 12 feet high, and 18 feet wide. So, you know, pretty good, impressive structure. And I'm sure we're all impressed, aren't we, when we see a nice building. You know, we want our church to be nice, don't we, and welcoming to visitors. I know we moan about the heating and stuff sometimes here, but, you know, there's nothing worse than a run-down, unwelcoming building, is there? And, of course, the church meeting we had last week where we were discussing the future of the building, I think demonstrates how important buildings are to us, aren't they? You know, and it's difficult, isn't it, making some decisions about buildings, and particularly church buildings. And, of course, Jesus' reply to Peter when he said, you know, look at this nice building, I don't think he was really expecting what Jesus replied. He said, do you see all these great buildings? Jesus said, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And I think Peter, like most people, thought that the temple was going to last forever. But of course, all buildings don't last forever, do they? You know, we had a leak in the roof last week. When I got home from church, I had a leak in my roof that I discovered as well, with all the rain and everything that we had. You know, remember the cathedral at Notre Dame, don't we, a few years ago, that was destroyed by a big fire, and people were absolutely devastated, weren't they, where they saw what had happened to that. You know, it's ironic, actually. You know, we call ourselves non-conformists, don't we, actually? But, you know, we get so worked up, don't we, about buildings and about organs, about pews, about, you know, churchy things, don't we? And we, you know, when we have a church meeting, they're the things that tend to consume us most. You know, oh, a church's got to have a pulpit, it's got to have an organ, it's got to have pews and things. And, of course, church buildings can be both a blessing and a bane, can't they? And of course, and it's a shame sometimes we have to spend so much time and effort keeping them going. And of course, it also means that we then spend less time on mission, don't we? You know, what we're here to do is to serve God and to tell others about Jesus, actually. And we need to be careful that temples and buildings and things like that don't get in the way of what we're here to do. Because Jesus reminds his disciples that at the end of the day, it's only a religious building. You know, we often hear it said, don't we, that the church is the people and not the building. And Jesus was not impressed that, you know, what the temple had become. You know, they had the Holy of Holies, didn't they? The golden candlesticks, the incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and all of this. And this is what people tended to focus on, didn't they? But it obscured what they were really there for, was to worship God. You know, we know that Jesus is with us here in our service this morning. But it's so easy, isn't it, to get distracted by all of the other things that there are around us. I'm sure you know the song that was around in the 1990s. We sing it here on occasion, When the Music Fades, by Matt Redford. Well, there's a story behind that thing. At Matt Redford's church in Watford, they were going through a difficult time, and it was a very modern church, very charismatic. They got a music group with more guitars than we've got. And, you know, they really kind of wanted to do that. But Matt Redman was saying, when he was writing this song, that the church had lost its way a bit. And they wanted to get back to the heart of the way that they were worshipping. And so, of course, the song, When the Music Fades, was written. You know, it says, I want to get back to the heart of worship. And it's a reminder, really, isn't it, that how peripheral things can very much get in the way of our worship. You know, we're here to worship and to listen to God, to honour him, to give him the glory. And of course, the world in which we live isn't a permanent fixture, is it? The Bible reminds it that one day all of the things that we see around us will pass away and be replaced by something new and eternal. And Jesus predicted that the very stones of the temple that the disciples saw before them would be destroyed. And of course, a few years later, in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. Of course, we're now in Advent, and we're looking forward not only to the coming of Jesus, but also to the coming, the second coming, when Jesus will return. So that's the first thing that I think Jesus was trying to say, that things don't last forever. Things don't last forever. Now, the second thing I think that Jesus was saying here, and there's a song about this, there is trouble ahead. You remember the song, there is trouble ahead? Right, so I don't think Jesus was trying to say this. Because we don't know when Jesus' second coming will be. But I think these verses, though, do give us some clues, don't they? Some indicators as to what's going to happen before that time. I reckon the disciples were probably a bit shocked, actually, when they heard some of the things that Jesus was saying about the temple being destroyed. And, of course, they wanted to know when this was going to happen. In verse 7, it says this, it says, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? Now, Jesus actually doesn't answer the first part of the question, but he does try and explain a bit what the signs before Jesus' coming were likely to be. And he says that two of the things that we could expect are false doctrine, false teaching, and coming wars. You know, I sometimes wonder whether, when we come to church, whether we try and paint a too rosy picture of what being a Christian is all about. You know, it's all about having a nice time, singing a few nice songs and things, and having a cup of coffee and a biscuit and stuff at the end. And of course, Jesus was saying here to his disciples, well, actually, being a Christian, being my disciple, isn't a bed of roses, is it? You know, when we look at the world in which we live today, the world is not a bed of roses, is it? It is awful, and it's going from bad to worse. You know, we've got unemployment, rising debt, famine, wars, persecution, earthquakes, storms, you know, everything. You know, we look around us, the world is in a terrible state, you know, and it's just going worse and worse. Now, I don't remember this, but apparently in 1957, the Prime Minister at the time, who was Harold Macmillan, said, you've never had it so good. Oh, you remember, do you remember? I didn't realise you were that old, Jim. But no, I read that. You never had it so good. And he was referring to the economic state of the country, of Britain, at that time. And I don't know about you, I'm sure those of us that are a bit older, we often look back, don't we, to those good old days, you know, when things were different, and people were nicer, and, you know, life was so uncomplicated of that. But unfortunately, the reality is we are living now in bad times, aren't we? Times of trouble. And if Jesus' disciples thought that he would promise them immediate success and prosperity in the world, he was going to put them right now in these verses that followed. The first thing he says is you need to look out for the rise of error. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and he will deceive many. And I'm sure we've seen over the years many people raise themselves up as Christian leaders and claim, you know, I am the Christ, you know, or Jesus is coming next week. You know, I read that the Jehovah's Witnesses said that Jesus would return in 1874, and then in 1914, and then in 1975, and then in 1984. Well, how wrong can you be? The thing is, Jesus said, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we do need to be on our guard against false teaching in our churches, don't we? We need to read our Bibles. We need to test the things that people say. We need to make sure, you know, if somebody says something and you're not sure about that, go and look it up. Go and make sure that what it is absolutely scriptural. You know, when we get people to come and preach at the front, are they preaching the Word of God? Now, the person who organises the preaching rota here, I think, is one of the most important and vital jobs in the church. If you get that wrong, you can destroy a church with false and bad teaching. But just think about that for a moment. So the first thing he said is guard against false teaching. Secondly, he says, these are some of the other things that you can expect to happen. Wars and rumours of wars, nation will rise against nation, earthquakes and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You know, I think these words of Jesus are things that we badly need to hear today. They're as relevant to us, aren't they, in 2024, as they were to the disciples back then. And Jesus here, I think, is trying to correct the myth that things can only get better. You know, are you expecting things to get better, or are you expecting things to get worse? Do you remember, Keir Starmer actually made a speech, didn't he, about a week or two ago, when he was talking about the effects of the budget, actually. And what he said was, well, things have got to get worse before they can get better. Now, I don't believe that for one moment, actually. Because Jesus is saying here, well, things are going to get better, but whilst we're on earth, things are going to get a lot worse than they are now. They're only going to get better when Jesus comes back. You know, we've got to hang on to that fact that Jesus is the only person that can get us out of the mess that the world is in today. You know, the prophet Jeremiah was criticised, wasn't he? Because he was a gloom and doom prophet and preached bad news. People don't want to hear bad things, do they? They want a nice, comfy thing. Jesus is saying to his disciples, be realistic. You know, you often hear that people say that the whole world is going to get converted before Jesus returns. If you read your Bibles, it doesn't actually say that at all. Jesus says there's going to be trouble, wars. We need to spend time witnessing and preaching the gospel. But we shouldn't be under the illusion there's suddenly going to be mass conversions and everybody's going to be saved. People will be saved, but not everybody will get to heaven. Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." It does not say that everybody will be converted and then the end will come. You know, there'll be some people that will miss out on that. Not an easy message, this, is it? Not, you know, makes very uncomfortable listening. And I'm sure, you know, we're feeling now probably as the disciples were feeling when Jesus was talking to him. But, you know, if we're serious about our faith, then we must make clear that, you know, we need to rely on Jesus. Jesus is the only person that is able to save us at the end of the day. You know, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. You know, we're a lot nearer now, aren't we, to the coming of Jesus than we were before the service started. Just think about that. You know, time is it now? 11:15. You know, 45 minutes have passed, and we're 45 minutes nearer to Jesus is coming. So if Jesus comes back today, are we ready for Jesus' return? Have we done everything we possibly can to prepare them? You know, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus, about Jesus' words, he says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few can find it. You know, we really need to hold on, don't we, that Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus returns, all the wrong will be put right. You know, I'm really looking forward to that day, isn't it? But, you know, between now and then, it's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, we just need to be prepared to walk with Jesus through that time, so we're ready for that time when he comes back. Amen. We're going to sing again now. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. A song which just reminds us that Jesus was the light of the world and came into this world to save us. Wait a minute, wait, we're not the words yet. What's happened? I am, yeah. Right, let's pray now, shall we? And then let Seth and Keith sort the words out. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. It's all happening this morning, isn't it? All happening. Right. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, thinking about the world. Pray for Martin this morning. As I say, he's not been very well, and sort of suddenly came upon him. And I'd also like us to pay for Kingsthorpe Church as well, which has now renamed itself. It's no longer Kingsthorpe Baptist Church. It's called Kingsthorpe Community Church, because it's a local ecumenical partnership now that has been formed with the what was the Kingsthorpe Methodist Church. And they've joined together. They've officially become now a local ecumenical partnership, and they're worshipping together as one church community now. And I think it's great, actually. It's taken about 8 or 9 years to get to that place. And we've got a special celebration service organised in March where we're going to give thanks for that partnership that's going to happen. And we're also going to think of just generally our world and those that need our prayers at this time. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we just thank you that you've called us here this morning, and we just bring before you, Father, today the world in which we live. Lord, we read that passage from Luke just now. And some of the things, Lord, that Jesus predicted and said that were going to happen before he returns in glory. Lord, as we look around, we just pray, Father, for the suffering and for the conflict and for the sin, Lord, that is around each and everything, Lord, that we see every day. We pray, Lord, for those countries that are in the grip of war at the moment. For Ukraine and Russia, Gaza, Israel, and all those countries, Lord, in the Middle East that are in conflict and just don't seem to be able to sort out, Lord, the things that are happening at this time. We pray, Father, for those that have got the ability, Lord, maybe to do something about this, but don't. Lord, we pray that hard hearts, Lord, might be softened to be able to bring change about. We pray too, Father, for those who are suffering because of lack of basic necessities. Those without homes, those without food. We thank you, Lord, for our local food bank, Lord, and for all the work that that they do. And Father, we thank you that we are able to support them, Lord, over this Christmas period. We just pray, Lord, that you'll supply them with the things that they need to be able to do your work. We pray too, Lord, for this fellowship here. We thank you, Lord, for the meeting that we had last week. And Father, we just pray as we move forward that you will be with us, that you'll help us, Lord, to overcome any obstacles, Father, that we might have. And Lord, that we may just stick with you, knowing, Lord, that you will take us to where you want us to be. I also want to pray, Father, for the church, Lord, that I've been moderator at Kingsthorpe for the last 8 years. And I just want to pray for them, Lord, as the Baptists and the Methodists have come together and have really worked hard, Lord, to bring glory, Lord, in that part of Kingsthorpe. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless them in the work that they do. Bless Martin, Father, and all of those, Lord, who are there. Be with Martin particularly today, Lord, as he's not well at home. Pray, Lord, for others who are ill and sick at this time, those who are uncertain, Lord, about their medical futures. And I just pray, Father, that people will have peace and you will just help them. Just take a few moments, Lord, just to bring before you, Lord, those that need our prayers in our fellowship at this time. Finally, Father, we just pray for ourselves. Lord, you know where we are with our walk with you. You know, Lord, what we think, what our hopes, our fears are. You know, Father, the things in our lives that need changing. Lord, we pray during this Advent season that you might help us and challenge us to change us, Lord, into what you want us to be. Lord, be with us all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, as if by magic. Right, well, we're going to have two songs. Right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be really controversial now. No, that's not the right song, I'm afraid. Light of the world, you step down in darkness. Right, shall we just have joy to the world? Let's have joy to the world, shall we? Right. Right, we're going to fill it. Our final hymn will be Joy to the World. Shall we finish by saying the grace together and to one another? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.